right, people. It's Saturday. It's 9 o'clock Pacific time. And as you know, that makes it midnight, witching hour, Eastern Standard, and about 11 Central Standard Time, PM, of course. We're in this hemisphere. We're in the United States. I'm in California, Huntington Beach, except my friend and co-host, James Corbett, is in Japan. James, you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me on again.
Thank you for coming and co-hosting and being here. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone. I am host, co-host, Lieutenant Eric Schein, with my co-host, James Corbett of the CorbettReport.com. And I want to get more into, like, I mean, the more I'm digging into this and the more I'm forced to defend myself, the more I'm realizing this whole court system is just jacked. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They're saying that these aren't criminal proceedings, but then they published in the Federal Register that they're based on criminal procedure, that the SNR proceedings, the suspension and revocation proceedings, are based on criminal procedure. But then they don't afford you any of the rights or protections or benefits that you would get under criminal proceedings or criminal procedures, like even the benefit of the right to counsel. And that's one reason why we're supposed to have it and have had it, and why I've had several attorneys dating all the way back to 2003, and only in 2003, and then they disappeared. And I'm now defending myself against a, you know, self-declared minimally police department, let alone branch of military, that has taken on regulatory and adjudicative powers, who have me within an Article I court, where the judge has already declared within the proceedings it's not only an Article II court, but that it's an Article 32 military tribunal, which is a grand jury indictment proceeding, is a pre-indictment proceeding within the military. And they're saying that I'm a civilian. And the deeper and more I get into, I mean, it's just, there's so many things wrong with this situation that it's, where do I begin and where do I end? And the more we read and get into all the records on this, the more disturbing it really is. I mean, I've had to set a lot of this stuff aside for quite some time, and it's literally making me sick right now. James, we'll be right back. I'd like to get into that a little bit more if you have any questions on that, so that people might understand what's going on with these quote-unquote administrative courts.
Right, and let's get people to phone in if they have a question, too.
Please, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. Thanks, Jim. All right, people, we're back with James Corbett. I want to throw out that call-in number again. 800-313-9443, and I just finished chewing all my ice, so I wouldn't do that on air. I'm only kidding. It was directed at the caller last week who, rather than being disturbed that the Coast Guard is a branch of military now, saying that it can administer civilian affairs and that they have me in a military tribunal Article 32 proceeding as an alleged civilian, he was more worried about me chewing ice on the air.
And right, exactly. Where are people's priorities? I don't know.
Yeah. And was more concerned about if I had done that in front of the military law judge who was presiding over a case in front of an alleged civilian or of an alleged civilian. So, 800-313-9443. Yeah, no, I don't know what to say, where the Coast Guard's not supposed to get involved in any labor disputes or any personnel matters. They're really only supposed to get into issues of safety, like, you know, they're supposed to come out and make sure that the certification for the elevator on board a ship is up to date. That's it. They're supposed to be involved in safety inspections for the vessel, for lifeboats and other stuff. They're not supposed to get involved in any labor or personnel matters or even licensing matters. They license us, you know, administer our tests, but now what they've set up, and they've done this and have had it for years off and on, and it keeps getting taken away from them by Congress,
is they have set up these courts, and what they do is they do it under common law. They create the court, bring the first case, use the first case to create venue and jurisdiction. And even, like in my own situation, they use the first person that they brought the charges against to have them declared medically, mentally incompetent or incompetent, and then use that first person who's now incompetent and more a piece of property than a human being anymore to claim venue and jurisdiction. It's just like condemning a building or a piece of property and using something like eminent domain to take over the property.
Yeah, unfortunately, a very good analogy, because to a certain extent, we are being turned into property by this system.
What was that? I just had a...
I said we're being turned into property by the system, and property, of course, can be dealt with in any way that the system wants to deal with it, because they own it, and unfortunately...
Well, no, I'm picking up Mike in the background. I don't know what's going on. Mike, you there? No worries. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that more and more we're becoming more sort of chattel property, and as that happens, we start to lose the constitutional rights that have been fought and won by our ancestors, and unless we stand up for them, we're going to lose them even more.
Well, that applies equally as much in a republic as it does in a kingdom. You know, and I guess, I don't know if you've heard a lot of these conversations that are going, there's this guy Piers Morgan, who now has a CNN show or whatever, and, you know, Morgan, like in J.P. Morgan, he's British. I mean, clearly. And a lot of these programs or programming that's going on here in the United States, you know, even I look at people like Michael Caine as an actor and others, all of these roles and or positions or good paying jobs are being taken over by foreigners, literally, to where not only, you know, I mean, even if you look at like the tanker contract for our Defense Department, to where our air refueling tankers was handed over and initially awarded to the European Union. And it's like, how dumb are we to say, hey, will you build our refueling tankers for us? Oh, and by the way, why don't you fly them back to us and use them against us on the way and declare war? You know, it's like we're outsourcing construction of, you know, I'm sorry, I don't trust Europe any more than I trust Asia to an extent. And I'm not accusing them of anything, but if you look through history, whether it be or what we've done in any of these regions ourselves, and, you know, one reason why we should be cautious at the very least, because we've played games, political and otherwise, and carried on warfare in a lot of these regions. And I want to be clear, because that's one of the I guess reasons that people are coming under attack is, you know, even myself, is people believe that somehow I'm a pacifist, and I'm not. I mean, I went to a military academy. I don't believe, though, in aggressive wars. I believe in defense, which is far different than having a, you know, a military police state to where everything is owned and controlled and basically run and approved by the military or the military industrial complex.
Right, exactly, as I think a lot of people do agree with that, and unfortunately the people who stand to profit from the wars are the ones who are in charge of the Defense Department and have been for generations now, unfortunately.
Well, I guess we have a caller on the line, I'm not sure
who
it is.
If you want to go. Yeah.
Say again?
We have our first caller on the line, I was going to say, if you want to bring him on.
Yeah, who is it? I can't see it on my board.
It's Carlisle from Minnesota. Are you there today, Carlisle?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Mr. Corbett. I've seen some of his videos. But I don't really understand. I listened to this discussion, I believe, last week or the week before, too, and I don't even know what you guys, it's like you're picking up in the middle of some conversation. We're complaining about the military, but I don't
know. Well, no. Let me fill you in. And this is the long and the short of it. The Coast Guard is supposed to be a federal maritime police agency, a police and, quote-unquote, regulatory agency. This is what they've been since... at least at the end of World War II, they were pushed out of what was created with the Department of Defense in converting our Department of War into the Department of Defense. They were placed under Title 14, which is specifically for the Coast Guard as a civil service. For their own personnel, they were placed under the APA, Administrative Procedure Act, which is civil service law. Now, in 2003, under the launching of the war in Iraq, They're saying that they're a full-time branch of military outside the Department of Defense within Homeland Security that is coming under Title 10 and the Uniform Code of Military Justice for all of its personnel, and that they can somehow police, regulate, and enforce civilian law, and thus make civilian law as a branch of military.
Okay. So
you get that?
That expanded their powers, in other words?
Oh, enormously, but unconstitutionally, because we don't allow our military, and we're not supposed to allow, and although this has been encroached upon greatly in the last 5-10 years, and, you know, you go back even to World War II, but to where the military is making civilian law. The military is enforcing civilian law. When that happens, that's martial law. When the military is in charge of civilian law, just like one of my websites is crossingtherubicon.org, that goes back to Italy 2,500 years ago when it was Augustus, right? Caesar.
Julius.
I mean, they were all called Caesar, but it was Augustus who crossed the Rubicon in 49 BC and brought the military, the legionnaires, into the public commons and used the military to take over the government. And that's what we have going on here, but it's very evident in the Coast Guard because they're declaring, if you go to their own website, www.uscg.mil, the .mil stands for military. That extension is, you know, reserved specifically for the military. James, go ahead and chime in. I'll let you, you know.
Well, I think that pretty much sums it up. Carlisle, do you have any questions about that?
Well, I'm curious why James Corbett would dedicate, because it seems like such a,
a minor issue.
Yeah, kind of a, I mean, there's so many, kind of like a...
Wow.
It's kind
martial
of
law, no big deal. Well, actually, this isn't my radio show. This is actually Eric Schein's show, and he's been good enough to have me on as a co-host, so I'm
yeah,
here
but,
to...
But I mean, James, don't you have some kind of, like, response to that, to where he's saying that the military taking over civilian... I don't know, maybe you don't understand or fully comprehend, Carla, what's really going on. If you go back and listen to some of the other shows, you know, we go into great detail on some of this stuff. But as an example, it's as if the military took over your Department of Motor Vehicles. It's as if the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, was taken over by the Air Force. We don't do that here. Even after 9/11, the FAA wasn't taken over by the Air Force. But now the Coast Guard is saying that it's a branch of military that can board American flag vessels, private or otherwise, without warrant and without probable cause, with weapons cocked and loaded at high port arms. I don't know. You can maybe ask some questions. We'll be right back. Carla, hold on. This is In the Zone. I am Lieutenant Eric Schein. I'm speaking with James Corbett, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
All right, we're back. Sorry about, we had some technical difficulties. We got that all straightened out. That was on my end. Let's go back to the caller, Carlisle. Carlisle, you there?
Yes, thank you, fellas. Yeah, you know, the government, every government agency just continues to expand. It's like a giant octopus. But, you know...
Agreed.
If you look in the private sector, you know, you've got companies like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Halliburton, all of these giant companies, really all they are. I mean, you get people in the U.S. military, they do their 20 years or whatever, and they end up over at Lockheed Martin.
That's exactly what I've been complaining about. Admiral Loy, who was a Coast Guard commandant, he set up the whole regulations for this TWIC card. It's a transportation worker identification card. It's a biometric ID card that's a precursor to a new national ID as a biometric. And some of this stuff I really don't think is a bad idea, but when I see the people that are putting it in place, how they're putting it in place, who's profiting from it, then I go, I'm starting to not like this idea very much. Because from a technological standpoint, moving to a better identification card, a biometric card or whatever, I mean, if we start moving off this planet and have, you know, colonies and whatever, moving to a more sophisticated system of being able to identify yourself to an extent, I would say would be important. But they're getting to the point where your medical records are on there, and that can prevent you from getting employment. That can prevent you from getting insurance. That can, you know, to the point where it's not like, you know, Star Trek, where we don't even, you know, in the future, like with Picard, we're not using money anymore. It's being used more for control and to go after political enemies than to empower people and free them up and to let them grow and be the best person that they can be, which only helps out everyone else. It reduces crime. It encourages or increases productivity. A lot of the money that we're spending on the war right now, if we were spending it on maglev trains here in the United States or transportation, or even trying to get off this planet and set up a colony minimally on the moon, if not some kind of even, you know, space station, you know, they've talked about these motels in space and whatever. These are not far-fetched ideas. We have the technology to do this. We can do this stuff now. And instead, we're building bombs rather than building bridges.
Well, it's go ahead, Mr. Carver, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's a money-making operation. These companies, Halliburton and Lockheed and Boeing and Raytheon, these companies are making billions and they've been doing this for, you know, for decades.
Not to this magnitude. It has gotten, you know, Eisenhower even pointed out back in the 50s, but it has grown, and it gets beyond creeping fascism now, because it gets to the point of full-blown corporatism, as Mussolini called it, or fascism, to where the government is the corporation, and the corporation is the government, and we are not citizens anymore. We're property. We're chattel. And we have a self-appointed group of elites who control the world, let alone the United States.
I'll give you one. Back, one,
as you one see, we're, I was going to say we're back to kingdoms.
One example would be, you know, when Barack Obama, when he took office, just after he took office, he came out in front of the media and he made a big announcement. Now, he said, I'm not going to have anyone in my cabinet, no lobbyists. You know, the Bush administration was full of lobbyists who then became part of his cabinet, former lobbyists. He said, I'm not going to have a single one. I'm doing away with that. A week later, he announced, I have to check. I'm going to make one exception here.
Right. Yep.
I'm appoint a former lobbyist for Raytheon as the Sixth Defense Secretary.
Well, do you know that Raytheon is an English company?
No, I didn't. I know they're a multi-international type company, I imagine. I didn't know they were out of England, no.
Yeah.
But this fellow that Obama appointed to Assistant Defense Secretary, I believe, is an American. Go ahead.
I was going to say that even that's like saying a lot of the guys that work for BP are American, when in fact, I'm sorry, at some point, BP, British Petroleum, is a, excuse me, it's a royal corporation. That is a holding of the crown families from a kingdom known as the United Kingdom and England or Britain as a member of the Commonwealth. And all of those people who are quote-unquote citizens are actually subjects who have to bend a knee and bow a head to a royal family that's in charge. And to say that they're not in charge is it just doesn't follow history. Hold on, Carla, we'll get right back, and James, I'll let you throw in, and then we'll go to, we got some other callers too. 800-313-9443, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All right, we're back. 800-313-9443. I'm going to throw it back to James Corbett. This is Lieutenant Eric Schein. and I was up for promotion to Lieutenant Commander in the Navy as a graduate of Kings Point, United States Merchant Marine Academy. That's a fellow academy to West Point, Annapolis. And I come out there as a commissioned naval officer serving on special duty in the Merchant Marine as an issue of not only civil defense, but national security. And I've tried to complain not only about what's going on in the Coast Guard, but what is going on in our Merchant Marine, where it is, and our maritime industry has been under attack from foreign and mostly royal interests. James, let me throw back to you, and then you throw back to Carla, and we'll go to some other calls.
All right. Well, I don't have a lot to add to that. I mean, the assessment's the same, and basically, I think just we have to deal with the incredible tyranny that we're going into, and it's such a vast system that sometimes it's hard to get our head around all of the different aspects of it. But it's definitely a military-industrial state conglomerate that's taking over all aspects of our society, and we have to resist it in every possible way. So, Carla, do you have anything else, or should we go to the next caller?
Well, these companies, you know, whether they're based out of New York or London, it doesn't matter that much because they're international companies. I mean, you've got people invested in them. You know, the average typical American's got money invested in Raytheon through his 401k.
But most of that is very minuscule compared to these very large corporate families. And some would say royal, like even the Queen of England. She's one of the largest, if not the largest, real estate owners here in the United States. And it goes back to our sovereignty. It goes back to our system being an independent republic, supposedly, to where we have foreign and mostly royal interest and their heirs or, you know, people from their lineage, from their families here in the United States who appear to be Americans, but in fact are working with, and as, you know, like even Prescott Bush was trading with the enemies in World War II. You know, he was convicted of that, Prescott Bush.
So I have to tell you, this stuff about the royal family running the world is just silly.
Because I don't think so.
It is. Because, I mean, you're doing comic book stuff again here with this.
I mean, I disagree. I mean, start looking into what's going on in the world. Like, are you familiar with this whole concept of the North American Union and what they want to create? Merging the United States and Canada and Mexico together?
Yes.
Well, what is Canada? It's a constitutional monarchy that's a member of not only the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, but it's a member of the EU now. It was taken in with England.
Canada is not a member of the European Union.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. They're already fighting right now about the Falkland Islands being part of the EU. And when England was taken in as the titular head of the United Kingdom or the Commonwealth, and, you know, you can ask James about this. He's Canadian. He may have a differing point of view. But when the England was taken in as a member of the EU, so was the rest of the Commonwealth, the 53 other member nation states. And people
yeah,
are
I
really
do have a different view on that, actually.
Well,
I don't,
go ahead.
I don't agree with that assessment, actually.
And I do. I think it's very clear because even now, like I said, they're arguing of whether the Falkland Islands is part of the EU or not. So, you know, this isn't me saying this. This is going on in real time right now. And it's others, including the EU itself, arguing these points of law. But, and you're Canadian, you have your own point of view on it, and I know you think that Canada is independent of the Crown or the Commonwealth to an extent, but
I mean, it's part of the Commonwealth, obviously, but it's not really part of the EU technically.
But it is part of the Commonwealth, and the Commonwealth is now, you know, as England and Britain has made part of the EU, and it's the titular head to the Commonwealth. It's like what is it, algebra or whatever, you know, A plus B equals C, and C minus B equals A. If you start adding it up, it's not a stretch of the imagination.
Don't be afraid to use the word titular, because the FCC doesn't care about that one.
Yeah, right. All right, Carla.
Nice one. All right. Thank you. Call. All right, we've got two more callers on the line, so let's get through some of these calls. So let's go to Larry in Arkansas. Larry, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, great.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my question seems kind of minuscule now since you guys have taken this in another direction, but heavier direction. But look, what I want to know is who used to do the policing in the judicial part of that you say they're taking over now?
Well, it's like the Harbor Patrol or the Sheriff's.
Harbor Patrol, okay, the Sheriff's.
Yeah, like, it's local. It's supposed to be local. Like a drunk driving. You don't bring in federal military forces.
I understand all that. But
I'm saying somebody on the street, same
the
thing.
The local sheriff or whatever used to take care of it, yeah. Okay,
and
to know who they took over.
Well, and they still do to an extent, but the Coast Guard is encroaching on all that to where normally, like your boat, like say a sailboat or a powerboat, that would be registered with your DMV, just like your car.
Right.
But now the Coast Guard has created this whole, not only do they have the National Driver Registry, but they also have this thing called documentation to where if you want to, rather than registering your boat with the state and paying the fees to the state and those fees being used for the state for waterway improvements, you are now going to pay your documentation fees to the Coast Guard, which is a self-funding mechanism going around the constraints of Congress to help fund a special branch of military and Homeland Security.
Is that your choice or you have to?
Well, no, and that's a choice, and that's where at some point people shouldn't be doing this, and if they're better informed, they say, no, I want to support my state.
Right.
I want to pay the fees to my Department of Motor Vehicles because I benefit from that directly.
I got another question. How many miles out is the jurisdiction into the sea?
It changes depending on whether it's pollution, whether it's fishing. Like, fishing has been traditionally like 200 miles. Pollution goes anywhere from 2 to 5 to 10 to 12. When on a merchant ship, we have to basically close all the valves and even lock them for any kind of overboard. And even when we're in port, you can't, you know, even like a sink, you can't have it going overboard. On smaller ships, they don't really care too much about that. They don't get into it. But because we don't want to get nailed with like a huge fine, and on a big ship, it can be a lot of money. So they basically shut down when you're in port anything going over the site at all, ever. But then once you get out, and then, you know, there's issues as to oil pollution, even opening up your oily water separator, your septic systems, when those can be opened up and where you have to be. A lot of this is controlled by the Coast Guard or by rules promulgated by the Coast Guard that are standards for the entire United States. And they may have local laws that are, you know, a little bit more restrictive because of certain estuary or fishery or wildlife or, you know.
But did the local people go that far out? Not 200 miles.
Well, no, that goes to fishing laws. Because even Japan, the Japanese come over, and one of the things that they were doing was, like, on our salmon, they were basically following the life cycle of the salmon coming out of Alaska, and basically the point where they were going to kill all the salmon because they were just following it and fishing out the salmon. And so some of these laws extend out, like, several hundred miles, and it's to protect our natural resources so that we don't get into a war with some other country that's sitting off our shores. And they're doing this right now. Like, one of the things that they were working on with China was to actually set up cruise ships to where they're off our coast so many miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, whatever, in international waters. And because the whole concept of international waters changes depending on what topic you're talking about. But to have these cruise ships in international waters to where they were running basically slave ships where U.S. law would not, labor law would not apply, and they could run just like a cannery ship, let alone even do software for Silicon Valley. And one of the reasons they wanted to do this was because the engineers and people from Silicon Valley, like CFOs and CEOs and others, didn't want to fly all the way to Asia for developing products. So this way they could have a ship right off the coast, pay dirt wages, treat the people however they want because it's an international law. It goes to the flag of the ship and get around all sorts of laws and make even more money than they already are.
Well,
these people are not – the people that are doing this are not good people.
No, well, you're right. But apparently the Coast Guard or the people you were involved with were doing some of this policing when it went pretty deep into the waters. Originally.
Well, yeah, but in my own situation, I'm not only a naval officer coming out of Kings Point, I'm also an officer in the United States Merchant Marine who is licensed, and I get trained on all this stuff myself, and I am, to an extent, a regulatory officer. I'm supposed to make sure that the Coast Guard has very narrow boundaries. It's called the Coast Guard for a reason. It's now
guard the coast.
Well, yeah. Right, but it's supposed to be a civil service, like a federal maritime police force, and that's basically leaving everything over to local, you know, control and authority. Because even when Hamilton set up the Revenue Cutter Marine in 1791, he was chastised by his contemporaries. He tried to basically set up this international federal paramilitary unconstitutional system under the Treasury Department, and, you know, federalize it, nationalize it. It was broken up and handed back to the local custom houses for local control and authority. That's how our system's set up, to where you have more control over what's going on because the control is local, not central in D.C.
Well, that's what I'm getting at is, well, how much encroachment. I mean, there still is a Coast Guard, right?
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, there still is a harbor police or whatever you said they were called.
Right. Harbor police, sheriff's department,
Well, what I'm getting at is, how much encroachment has the Coast Guard or the Merchant Marines taken how close to shore are they coming with this?
No, it's not the Merchant Marines. The Merchant Marines is like civil service. It's like somebody working on a tug or a ferry or a cruise ship. And we don't have many of those left here in the United States under American flag anymore. Or a container ship or an oil tanker under American flag. That is our Merchant Marine. And that is to be a naval auxiliary in times of peace and in times of war, you know, especially in times of war, in the event of a natural catastrophe or a declaration of war, because then all of that comes underneath and under the protection directly of the Department of Navy. The Coast Guard, in a declaration of war, is supposed to go under the Navy, either whole or part, and then maintain a certain portion as, like, waterborne police, federal maritime police. But what they're saying now is, since 2003, and the Coast Guard moving into Homeland Security from the Department of Transportation, they're saying as if it came from the Department of Defense and is now a special branch of military in Homeland Security carrying on civilian affairs.
Right. How close to shore are they taking advantage of?
It's international. It's everything. They're even saying now that it's on land. The Coast Guard is the only branch of military, supposedly, and this is by their own declaration, that can carry their own service-issued weapons home with them. They can carry their guns issued to them in the military service home with them. No other branch of military can do that.
So they're actually intruding on the Harbor Police's territory?
Yeah, they're basically saying that they are the top dogs in everything and anything on the water, and that they are the ultimate jurisdiction within Homeland Security.
Close to shore, even within 3 miles or something.
Even on the shore, port facilities, doesn't matter.
They're actually pulling private boats over within 3 miles of the coast and such as that?
Oh, yeah. They're going down into Mexico and getting drug runners drug lords and capturing them in international waters. The Coast Guard is. Which is kind of like, you know, that's not a good thing, because what it does, it actually starts to set up a system where we're going to piss off some other foreign country. And yeah, we have the biggest, baddest military in the world. But at some point, do we need to be going and creating problems, not only in international waters, but in international waters that are off the coast of Mexico? I'm talking about deep, deep Mexico.
And do they get into squabbles with these local harbor police when they do things like that?
The local harbor police are, to an extent, trying to maintain their jurisdiction, but the Coast Guard has encroached enormously to where, like, even in my own situation, the Coast Guard, we have a whole licensing system, right, and they're trying to expand this licensing system to where if you're a captain of a vessel, you get a license, you get it issued by the Coast Guard. You know, even though you may be in the Merchant Marine or whatever, it's the Coast Guard tests you. And it goes to navigation or engineering or whatever, you know, you're testing for. They're trying to make this apply to smaller and smaller vessels so that basically all vessels are, quote-unquote, inspected. And they're using insurance to do this as well, so that an insurance company will not grant you insurance unless you have a captain on board your vessel, and this goes to like, I think it gets up to about 60 feet or over. It might be even a little bit smaller, but to where they will not allow you to skipper your own vessel unless you have a Coast Guard license.
Well, the problem I see in it is that they're just coming in too close to shore and taking, you know, liberties with the local,
Well, they're boarding American flag private, vessels without warrant and without probable cause, and they're going on board and asking for papers. Show me.
Well, I could maybe see that if they were 200 miles out in the ocean somewhere.
Right, or if you're coming up from Mexico or something and you've been tracked, and at some point they want to make sure that you're not running drugs.
Yeah.
You know, but even
then. Yeah, it's pretty deep stuff. You're highly qualified compared to, you know, I don't know that much about it, but with my limited, you know, knowledge here, I just wanted to see how close to shore they were getting to see if they were intruding on county sheriffs or whoever.
No, they're actually in international waters, international ports, and they're on land here in the United States.
Well, that's a little too close to shore, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, no, it's a little bit too broad of jurisdiction for what used to be the Lighthouse Service, the Life-Saving Service, the Ice-Breaking Service. How do you get a special branch of military that all of a sudden gets all these jurisdictions under its thumb and can bring civilians or people it identifies as civilians into military tribunals before it, where it's using JAG counsel, JAG prosecutors, JAG attorneys in the uniform of the Coast Guard as commissioned officers under military law to prosecute people that they're saying are civilians?
And they basically got this through by saying that, you know, oh, we got to stop the bombs from coming in or something?
Well, that was part of like 9/11, but what they did was the Coast Guard has an exception to posse comitatus because it's not a branch of military, or it wasn't seen as a branch of military. It's a civil service. So even though they're in Title 10, which is military law, it's DOD and all that, they're cited in there only when they come under the Department of Navy and DOD. That's the only reason they're mentioned in there. When normally
contracted, basically.
Well, it's, yeah.
Okay,
we're going
man.
To official break.
All right, take care.
All right, peace, Scott. We got more callers. Sorry, James. We'll be right back. It's Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone. Host Lieutenant Eric Schein and co-host James Corbett. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We got very limited time. And, James, if you got any comment, or we can go to Jeff in Chicago.
Let's go to Jeff. Let's see what Jeff has to say. Jeff in Chicago on line two. How are you doing?
Hey, good evening, James. Good evening, Lieutenant Schein.
Hey, Jeff.
Okay, I'll be pretty quick so you guys can get to another caller, but this is really, really important. It has to do with Carlisle from Minnesota. I need to let you guys know, and also all the listeners out there, that if at any moment you feel that a caller is calling in repeatedly and is not being sincere, it's really, really important. You know, in the movies, they'd say, you know, my spider sense is tingling. Well, I want you to know, Lieutenant Schein, that when you were bringing up your very legitimate concerns about us losing our sovereignty, every time that you accurately say that the royals and the monarchs and the aristocrats are having too much of a destructive influence in our life, I want to just point this out. The RBN host, Rick Adams, yesterday, on Friday, or maybe it was the night before Thursday, said to that caller, Carlisle, he said, sir, you call in repeatedly, and you give me a very bad feeling. You never say something specifically. Would you ask a specific question? And basically, Mr. Adams said, I have a feeling that that guy's a plant. I have a feeling that that guy is a troublemaker, and he's distracting us from what we really need to do and just the problems we need to solve.
I'm not here to say if somebody is a troll or not, or if they're just having fun with us. I mean, the point is, do they bring up any points? And if not, I think the callers out there are smart to understand that, right?
Yeah, but if he doesn't get it, there are other people that are out there that don't get it and haven't gotten it yet. And at some point, going back and rehashing and explaining some of this stuff isn't a bad thing. Like even my response to him and explaining the Coast Guard and Homeland Security and all these moves and everything else, it gets other people who haven't listened in a while, who haven't heard the whole story, who've got bits and pieces, maybe you get the long and the short of it. So, you know, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you calling and giving the heads up. And, you know, we try not to feed trolls, but
Freedom of speech is a sacred thing, and I just want to thank you guys. Keep on doing what you're doing, and Illinois is always going to keep listening in.
Well, peace, guy. I appreciate it. Peace. And again, you know, I have no way of picking people apart. There are certain people that I, you know, and I try to cut off if they get too stupid, but I try to let people have their two cents. If they're not even on topic or they're getting off on some tangent or want to, you know, point the blame at some specific race or nation or people or something, because we all have a leg in on this. I mean, but this is going on all around the world. What we're experiencing here in the United States, Canada is feeling as well. So is Japan.
Exactly right. We've got the emperor over here who got, well, after World War II, they said he wasn't God on Earth anymore, but other than that, he's pretty much still here, and his family's still ruling over the Japanese people.
Right, exactly. And it's like, who allowed that? Because we basically owned and controlled Japan. We set up the situation to allow that, you know, transition of power back to the emperor, and whether he's under our control or England's control or whomever. One of the things that Bush tried to set up is my belief is this, and it's even like in, the book of, by, Philip Bobbitt, Shield of Achilles, this new constitutional order. These guys want to set up, and do away with countries like the United States. And even you got to remember what Iraq was. It was a republic. The former Soviet Union was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And a lot of these countries that are involved in taking down these systems of self-governance of, by, and for the people, whether they call it communism, socialism, some perversion of capitalism or whatever, you know, democratic republic, whatever, are and have been for a very long time, these royal families. You know, Thyssen Steel is one of the companies that Prescott Bush was convicted of trading with the enemy for in World War II, and ThyssenKrupp Hobsburg is the company that now has the elevator contract for the World Trade Center. So, you know, saying
it's
that
all it's, one big circle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
on that
big
note, I hope people will check out CorbettReport.com, just been redesigned.
Cool. Thanks, James.
No problem. Thank you. Talk to
Peace.
You next week.
Yep. Have a good weekend. Good week.